Will the Senate please come back to order? I believe we are under communications. Madam Secretary?
Letter dated January 10th. Dear Senator Halford, I have found the process used by the Ethics Committee to fall far short of the constitutional protections guaranteed every citizen of this nation and, therefore, do not agree with the committee's conclusions. However, in the interest of getting on with the important business of representing my constituents, I am prepared to accept the committee's recommendations. To that end, please consider this letter my resignation from the chairmanship of the Rules Committee effective immediately. Sincerely, Senator George Jackal. Those are all the communications this afternoon.
That brings us to standing committee reports.
There are no standing committee reports today.
Special committee reports.
Special committee report from the Senate Subcommittee of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics of the Alaska State Legislature, Anchorage, Alaska, in regards to Senator George Jackal decision C-93-1, is dated November 12, 1993, and it's signed by Joseph P. Donahue, Chairman. It has been distributed, or will be distributed.
Senator Taylor?
Yes, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Ethics Committee decision C-93-1 be spread in the Senate Supplemental Journal.
Senator Duncan?
Object, just for a moment. May we have an adhesive, please?
I'll stand adhesive. Will the Senate please come back to order? The motion before us is to spread the decision, I guess it is called, on the Supplemental Journal. Senator Duncan?
President, with the understanding that the final page of the sanctions will not only be, the entire document will be spread, but the clerk will read, the secretary will read the final page, I will remove my objection upon the reading of that final page.
The objection to spreading on the Supplemental Journal has been withdrawn. Madam Secretary, would you read the final page of the decision?
This is page 7 of the decision sanctions under AS 2461-70K and AS 2461-74. The committee recommends sanctions against a legislator found to have violated the ethics law. In considering the sanctions to be recommended, the committee believes that expulsion is the most severe penalty and should be reserved for the most serious offense. As reprehensible as Senator Jackal's violations have been, they are not the most serious offenses. In addition, the committee considered the fact that these attempts to use his position did not succeed. The committee has considered the multiple violations in these recommendations. The committee has kept in mind public perception and constitution representation. The committee's findings regarding Senator Jackal's cooperation described above are also a part of the consideration. The committee recommends that the Senate levy the following sanctions on Senator Jackal. A, Senator Jackal should be stripped of all committee chair positions and any Senate appointments to statewide, regional, and national committees and should not be reappointed during the remainder of his term. B, Senator Jackal should not be allowed any out-of-state travel at state expense during the remainder of his term. C, Senator Jackal should be required to attend and complete at his expense the two-phased court-sanctioned mail awareness program, which includes training on anger management, stress management, problem solving, and communication skills as they relate to the abuse and control of partners. D, the Senate should issue a formal censure of Senator Jackal. E, the Senate should consider Senator Jackal to be on probation for the remainder of his term.
Senator Taylor?
Has been granted. You said the objection
yes.
was withdrawn?
Yes, the objection is withdrawn. The decision is spread in the Supplemental Journal.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would then move at this time. I move that the Senate adopt, if you please distribute, I'd appreciate it, Madam. I move that the Senate adopt the recommendations of the Senate Subcommittee of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics set out in Decision C-93-1 and hereby impose the sanctions on Senator George Jackal as recommended by the Select Committee. 1. Senator Jackal is removed from all committee chair positions and appointments to statewide, regional, and national committees, and he shall not be reappointed during the remainder of his term in office. The appointments include the Citizens Advisory Commission on Federal Areas, the Joint Federal-State Commission on Policies and Programs Affecting Alaska Natives, all committees of the National Conference of State Legislatures, the Western Legislative Conference, or the Council of State Governments, the Senate Economic Development Task Force, and the Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force. 2, Senator Jackal is prohibited from traveling out of state at state expense during the remainder of his legislative term of office. 3, Senator Jackal is required and directed to attend and satisfactorily complete at his own expense the two-phased court-sanctioned mail awareness program, which includes training on anger management, stress management, problem solving, and communication skills as they relate to the abuse and control of partners. Senator Jacko, number four, is formally censured and placed on probation for the remainder of his term. I've asked that the pages also distribute, and I believe everyone should now have in their possession a copy of that motion. I so move, Mr. President. Thank you.
The motion is before us for debate. Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, before debate of the motion, I do have an amendment that's been sent to the Secretary's desk.
Has the amendment been duplicated yet?
Did we get it?
Okay, question for the members. The amendment is fairly short. It lists the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. If you wish to at ease and wait for it to be duplicated, we can do that. Otherwise, we can go forward. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. President. The motion is, I think, very specific. What it would do under subsection 1 of the motion made by the majority leader, where we are listing the committees from which the senator will be removed, it would add the other committee appointment that the senator has that you made, Mr. President, the position as an ex officio member on the Alaska Seafood and Marketing Institute.
Senator Duncan, I didn't allow her to read it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You to move it.
So did we didn't do either one of those two things?
No, I took it out of order.
Shall I move it first, or you should read it first?
She should read it first.
Madam Secretary.
Amendment number 1 by Senators Duncan, Curtula, Adams, Donnelly, Ellis, Lincoln, Little, Salem, and Jaroff to the motion of Senator regarding Senator Jacko, subsection 1 after the Pacific Fisheries Legislative Task Force, add Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
Senator Duncan.
The amendment asked unanimous consent.
There is a motion before us. There is objection. Senator Duncan speaks.
We're going to have to get this down so we flow better. We will, as it goes. Mr. President, again, I would what the motion proposes is to add the one remaining committee to which the senator has been appointed, and that appointment was made by you as presiding officer, and that's the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Mr. President, that motion is made because it very clearly would comply with the recommendations from the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. Their recommendation, Recommendation A, that was just previously read into the record, states that Senator Jackal should be stripped of all committee chair positions and any Senate appointment to statewide, regional, and national committees, and should not be reappointed during the remainder of his term. We have listed all the committees that he should be removed from, with the exception of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. That was an appointment, a Senate appointment to that committee. It is a statewide committee. And I think the intent of the Ethics Committee is very clear that he should not continue to serve on that committee. I might also add that I've done a little research as to how this all came about as far as those appointments go, and it's been traditional in this body and the other body to have members, ex-official members of the body appointed since 1985. It's not provided for in statute, but it is provided for by the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. They have requested that there be ex-official members. They did that in 1985. And since that time, there have been ex-official members appointed by the presiding officers of each body. And they also very clearly state in the letter which has authorized this appointment process that all new members will be notified of all meetings of the board and will be reimbursed for all legislative travel and per diem expenses. And Mr. President, I think that brings two questions to mind concerning the Ethics Committee recommendations. One is, by not adding Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute here, are we really abiding by the recommendation in its entirety? And I think the answer is no. And secondly, they will be reimbursed for all legitimate travel and per diem expenses. And some of that travel, I've spoken to people who served on that board before, could undoubtedly be outside the state of Alaska. And one of the recommendations is that no out-of-state travel should be allowed. I think it's only fair and equitable, and we're asking no more or no less from the minority than to follow strictly the recommendations of the Ethics Committee, and this amendment should be adopted for that reason.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without divulging specific deliberations of the Ethics Committee, which neither the senator from the Mat-Su nor I can do because that would be a violation of the Ethics Code itself, I would read from a letter that the chairman of the committee wrote to you, Mr. President, in which he said there is no intent to remove Senator Jacko from membership on a committee that could disenfranchise his constituents. It is not our purpose to have his constituents suffer unduly for his violations. Mr. President, by virtue of definition, ex officio, which is what this particular appointment is, which does make it different from the other ones on the list, Ex officio means by virtues of one's office. And very clearly, the committee, Select Committee on Ethics, was not intending to disenfranchise a constituency when indeed that position is attached to an office. The travel question is, I think, moot because clearly Senator Jacko should not, the senator should not be allowed any out-of-state travel at state expense during the remainder of his term. That will not happen. It's my understanding that the committee meets in-state. Should it meet out-of-state, the senator would either have to pay his own way or he would obviously teleconference into the meeting. It is an ex officio position, not a voting membership, and I plan to vote no on the amendment.
Senator Duncan.
Mr. President, that's an interesting argument that because of his position in the Senate, he got the appointment to the ASME committee, and it's because of his office, and therefore shouldn't be removed. Well, it's because of his office that he's been appointed to all these other committees also. If he was not a member of the Senate, he would not be appointed to the NCSL, National Conference of State Legislative Committees, nor to any of the Fisheries Task Force or any of those others. So they all tie together. He's there because he's a member of this body. The Ethics Committee, I think, was very specific in saying removal from all committees of statewide or regional basis. And the response that the senator from Anchorage read to you came to you, but was actually as a result of a letter I wrote to the chairman. It was kind of a roundabout way, I guess, of replying. But my question specifically was related to, was the Finance Committee considered? And they were the response was directly related to standing committees, not to these other committees that are of national or regional importance. So I think it makes all the sense in the world to adopt this motion.
Question before the Senate. Senator Little.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think the argument that constituents would be disenfranchised is, repeating Senator Duncan's message, an interesting one, although I don't think that it carries much weight, at least not with me. There are many other areas in the state with important fisheries interests who are not represented on the ASME board. And if we look at what I consider the minimum sanctions to be recommended by the Ethics Committee, the Ethics Committee did not say that we should strip this senator of all committees, statewide committee appointments, except for the one that he really wishes to remain on. It says all committee appointments to statewide, regional, and national committees. I believe that we should, at a minimum, adopt the Ethics Committee's recommendations. I intend to vote yes.
Question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 1.
Mr. President,
Senator,
we have a very brief at ease.
The Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Senator Curtula.
Mr. President, the chairman of the Ethics Committee, looking at the separation of ethics from the moment of decision to acceptance or rejection by the Senate of the report, saw that they had no further position other than the two Senate members on the Ethics Committee. And he, in his letter, has stated that that which Senator Pierce and I agree to would pretty much be the detail of support that the Ethics Committee wished to give to any recommendations. So you're checking with us. We speak for the Ethics Committee to that respect. Now, Senator Duncan pretty well stated the position, which is the reason I didn't get up, that I would have had. But I will state that it seemed pretty clear to me in the previous negotiation during the day in which we decided to list, and that was mostly at the request of the minority, we decided to list the various committees that Senator Jackal was to be deprived or stripped of. It seemed to me very clear, even without that listing. I didn't know whether the listing was necessary or not, but it was a point of the minority that should be listed, and some felt better that they would be. when I read that, again, the report by Chairman Donahue, that is the one he signed, Senator Jackal should be stripped of all committee chair positions and any Senate appointments to statewide, regional, national committees and should not be appointed during the remainder of this term. I thought that covered all the committees, whether we had listed them or not. And that would have included ASME. So in this one very fine juncture, my interpretation is different than the senator from Anchorage's. I do believe, as the minority leader has stated, and I do believe in context with the directive, if we are going to follow, and it is up to the Senate, it is up to the Senate to do so, but if we're going to follow their direction, it would include ASME.
Question before the Senate, Senator Duncan.
Maybe I can ask a couple questions in there before I won't have to, or maybe I should prepare another amendment.
Senator
yes.
Duncan.
Mr. President, I just want some clarification just to be sure. It doesn't say in this motion, but I'm assuming it's implied, and maybe we should have an amendment adding the language that all of these sanctions are to take place immediately.
Senator Duncan, it's my understanding that they are to take place immediately. However, that is not debate on the amendment before us. But I answered the question.
But that's why I asked for information, because I could submit an amendment saying the above sanctions should take place immediately, and I'd be happy to do that.
But we have an amendment before us right now.
So I'm sorry.
Debate the amendment before us before we get back to the general question, but the answer to your question is yes. Senator Lilly.
On the issue of disenfranchisement, I think it's important to note that Senator Jackal will still remain on the Finance Committee and will still be able to serve his constituents in a very, very, very important way on that committee, and I don't believe that his constituents will be disenfranchised with his removal from the ASME board.
The question before the Senate is the adoption of Amendment Number 1 to the motion before us. If there's no further debate, would the members proceed to vote? Would the secretary lock the roll? Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary please record the vote? And so the amendment to the motion before us has failed by a vote of 9 yeas to 11 nays. That brings the motion back before us for debate. Senator Duncan.
I'm back to the right place again. I'm sorry. I just want, again, clarification, one, that all the sanctions are effective immediately. And secondly,
Senator Duncan, they're effective immediately unless they're reconsidered. That is the only way that I would consider that they would wait one day, and I would hope that doesn't happen.
Sure.
But as far as I'm concerned, they take effect immediately.
And do you feel we feel comfortable, I think, with that on the record, that we don't have to have that as an amendment then?
Yes, sir. I think they take effect
and
immediately.
And one further question then. The one that, number 3, can we assume also that that means that that program should begin as soon as a mail awareness program is available, even if that means during the legislative session?
I assume it's got to, I mean, it would be my assumption that it take place as soon as possible, but I think you've got to leave a little bit of leeway there. I don't know if it's available. You probably do.
No, I don't know.
And I don't know what kind of scheduling it is.
Why would I know?
Excuse me. Because this is your community, for no other reason. As immediately as is reasonable possible. Senator Duncan, please. Continue.
Yes, and my only clarification, I understand. I mean, I don't know when they offer these either or how they do it, but my only clarification, I want to be sure that that even if that meant that they say one starts February 15th, that that would be one that the senator would attend.
That would certainly be considered. I assume that it has to occur at a time when it doesn't interfere with his other duties. Further debate? The question before the Senate?
Yes. I'm sorry. I had one more item of clarification before we're still on the motion, because I think it's important. Mr. President, one of the other concerns I have with the Ethics Committee recommendations, again, without trying to go further than the Ethics Committee recommended, is exactly what they meant by certain one of those. And as you know, I wrote a letter to the chairman of the committee, Chairman Donahue, back in December, and he responded to you. Kind enough to send me a copy of the letter, but there are some terms that really are not definitive. For example, it states that Senator Jackal should be placed on probation for the remainder of the term. And quite honestly, I don't know what that means. And I think in all fairness, Senator Jackal should know what that means. And we as a Senate should know what that means. The public should know what that means. Does it mean that Senator Jackal can't play legislative basketball because he's on probation? Or he got a D last year and he's got to do better legislation this year and get a C? What's it mean? I mean, we don't know what it means. So we don't know what that means. We don't know what it means when they say chairs of committee, for example. It's a very broad term. I guess my request to you would be that we jointly, all members of this body perhaps, or you and I representing the majority and minority, write a letter to the Ethics Committee asking for them at their meeting this Friday to define what probation means and to define the broadness of the term committee chairs, so we know what that means. So there's no question in our mind or in the public's mind or in Senator Jackal's mind exactly what is being recommended here. And I'd ask for your response, your consideration, or would you willingly, would you join with me in writing a letter for that clarification?
Well, I mean, I don't know, because I don't know if that's appropriate to ask the committee if that's a format that we can use. You know, I don't know what their position is on another advisory opinion. As I understand, most of those questions were asked, but I'll be glad to talk to you about it. But I won't, you know, I don't have a definitive answer at this point on that question.
Yeah. What was said, Mr. President, and I don't mean to prolong this, but what was said in my letter to the to Mr. Donahue, what was said in his response was that that definition, and so maybe we better spend some more time on it then, that definition would be one that should be mutually agreed upon between the two Senate members of the subcommittee, and the two Senate members of the subcommittee are sitting here, so maybe they can tell us what they've agreed upon that probation means. But if they don't do that, then it seems to me, and if they should ask us to do that, I'm asking for their advice also, someone needs to define what probation means. I don't think it's fair to anybody. I wouldn't want to be on probation and not know what I couldn't do or what I have to do to be sure that I don't go the other way, right? And I think we need that definition. I think the public needs that definition. I think Senator Jackal needs that definition. And I'd ask maybe Senator Curtula or Senator Pierce to give their views of that.
Senator Curtula?
Well, I haven't recently discussed it, nor have I discussed it out of committee with Senator Pierce, but there is no doubt from my memory that we were speaking, and we can review it with the committee, I have no objection to that, but we're speaking of repetition of those areas of activity that Senator Jack was charged with violating and misusing his office. Those are the areas in which probation would be applied. In other words, he's accused of particular things. There's some charges here. If that sort of activity continued, they would expect the Senate to proceed with more stringent action. I think that's what that really meant. And the probation period would be from now to the balance at the end of this legislative year till the next election. But we can get in, but I remember some of the discussion, and that's the general aura of intent.
Senator Duncan?
Mr. President, maybe I could follow up a little bit more with that with the senator and maybe and ask if either he or Senator Pierce would. I don't think it's inappropriate to ask for a definition from the Ethics Committee, but let me take the other term then that causes difficulty here. The other term being In subsection A, Senator Jackal should be stripped of all committee chair positions. I don't know for sure what that means. I mean, I know that chair of the Rules Committee is a committee chair position, but is chair of a subcommittee on the budget considered a committee chair position? I think we need to get that definition from the Ethics Committee. And I don't see any harm in writing a formal letter to the Ethics Committee, not asking them to go back and review charges or complaints or make further sanctions, but just to be definitive on the two sanctions that are very broad and are unidentifiable or we don't know for sure. And I guess I would ask either the members of the Select Committee on Ethics if they think it's inappropriate for us to write a letter for that definition. It seems to me the public members of that body would be very willing to define what they mean.
Mr. Chairman, speaking out for myself, I don't think any member of the Ethics Committee would have a problem with any letter that came from this body on any appropriate question, including these. I think there's no problem with us receiving it and acting on it.
Senator Pierce.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think any member of this body and any member of the other body, and probably any member of the public can obviously write any letter that they want to the Ethics Committee. I would, I guess, encourage them, though, to make sure that the letter gets to the chairman of the Ethics Committee before it gets to the press this time.
Senator Duncan?
President, that's going to be pretty difficult to do because the press is sitting right here. And probably the letter will be written, so, you know, apologize for that. But, Mr. President, I guess then based upon that, I think it's important, and I hoped we could do this jointly in cooperation, and I hope we still can. So I think what we'll do is prepare a draft of a letter. I'll run it by you, Mr. President, for your concurrence, and ask any member of the body who would like to sign that, feel free to sign it, and we'll get it to the chairman of the Ethics Committee before their Friday meeting and ask if they can't consider those two definitions.
Further debate, Senator Salo.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would just like to ask you, Mr. President, and the Minority Leader in drafting that letter of inquiry to the Ethics Committee to also ask what their thinking was in regards to the finance seat and whether that was considered at all in terms of the power so held in the Senate. I think it's important to ask about the subcommittee chairs. However, since it's plural in the definition and the only chairman of the actual chair of a committee that we're dealing with here today is the chair of rules, I assume that it also implies, since it's plural in the decision, that it includes the chairs of the subcommittee. However, I agree that all of those things do need clarification, and I'd like to include the question about the finance seat.
Further debate? Senator Ellis?
Thank you, Mr. President. I am disappointed that the motion before us does not fully implement the recommendations of the Ethics Committee. I think the public will be very disappointed with that we didn't at least go along with those sanctions because of the lack of the adoption of the ASME amendment, I believe very strongly means that we're not fully implementing the recommendations of the Ethics Committee that deliberated long and hard and very painful deliberations over this issue. So I plan to support the amendment. It appears to be the best that we can achieve under these circumstances, but we're really not doing our job here and fully implementing those. I think it's a terrible thing with the first action of the citizen-dominated Ethics Committee that the legislature, I predict, is about to take an action to not fully enforce those recommendations, and I think that's terrible. The right precedent to set at this early stage of life under the new ethics law would be to fully implement those recommendations, and I'm disappointed that we're about to take an action that does not live up to that.
Further debate? Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. President. Maybe not so much debate there, but if there's the discussion of a letter being going that'll be submitted for asking for clarifications, then quite possibly the author of the letter might consider the question about the amendment that was defeated earlier that was brought up here in this last discussion, that if indeed that was would be the intent there that the Ethics Committee had in mind when they were talking about committees. And I know that there was some discussion at NetEase there about boards and commissions and committees and so on, so maybe this point needs to be clarified as well, and so I would ask that the author of the letter or letters or authors, if there be, consider that as well.
Senator Kelly.
Mr. President, I disagree with the senator from downtown Anchorage. I think that the motion before us generally fully implements the recommendations of the Ethics Committee, and I think, frankly, that the minority of this body is simply nitpicking. And I don't accept that this does not implement the recommendations of the Ethics Committee. I believe it does, and that's why I'm going to vote for it.
Further debate? The question before the Senate is the adoption of the motion before us implementing Decision C-93-1. Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Would the secretary lock the roll and record the vote? And so the recommendations of the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics contained in Decision C-93-1 have been adopted and are implemented at this time. Senator Catula?
I might divert. Slightest response occurred to me to Senator Kelly's statement, and that it's kind of like the old Ivory soap ad. We're about 97.8% pure.
That brings us back to, let's see, we were on reports of special committees. That brings us, I think, to introduction of Senate resolutions. Is that where we are?
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 11 by Senator Duncan, proposing amendments to the Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature relating to certain committee meetings held outside of the state capitol, and to recess of the legislature during the period the meetings are held and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 36 by Senators Kelly, Salo, Pierce, Sharp, Sharp, and Jacko, Senator Little, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska requiring that candidates for governor and candidates for lieutenant governor receive more than 50% of the votes cast to be elected and changing the term of office of the governor and lieutenant governor.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 37 by Senators Ellis and Little, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to elections of the governor and lieutenant governor and changing the term of office of the governor and the lieutenant governor.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 38 by Senator Ellis, proposing amendments to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to revenues from natural resources, the Alaska Permit Fund, the appropriation limit, and the Budget Reserve Fund, and providing for an effective date for the amendments.
State Affairs, Resources, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 39 by the State Affairs Committee, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska to guarantee, in addition to the right of the people to keep and bear arms as approved by the voters at the time of ratification of the state constitution, that the individual right to keep and bear arms shall not be denied or infringed by the state or a political subdivision of that state.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
Those are all the resolutions for introduction today.
Well, that brings us to introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 219 by Senators Curtula and Ellis, an act making appropriations to the Department of Education for support of kindergarten, primary, and secondary education in community schools programs and for school construction debt retirement and providing for an effective date.
CNRA, Hess and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 220 by Senators Ellis and Little, an act amending Schedule 2A of the Schedules of Controlled Substances applicable to offense related to controlled substances to add the drug methamphetamine, commonly identified as CAT.
State Affairs, Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 221 by Senator Taylor, an act relating to arrest of a person for illegal possession, consumption, or control of alcohol and providing for an effective date.
Hess and Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 222 by Senators Donnelly, Ellis, and Little, an act repealing an additional fee for motor vehicle registration not conducted by mail.
State Affairs, Labor and Commerce, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 223 by Senator Taylor, an act authorizing credits against certain taxes for contributions for public broadcasting purposes and providing for an effective date.
CNRA, Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 224 by Senators Curtula, Ellis, and Little, an act related to the use of recycled paper by state agencies and state-related entities, by state contractors, by financial institutions dealing with certain state agencies, and by attorneys filing documents in court and certain administrative proceedings, amending Alaska Rule of Civil Procedure 76 and Alaska Rule of Appellate Procedure 212 and providing for an effective date.
State Affairs, Judiciary, Finance.
Senate Bill Number 225 by Senator Curtula, entitled, an act relating to credits against certain insurance taxes for contributions to certain educational institutions, providing for an effective date.
Yes, Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill Number 226 by Senator Taylor, entitled, an act confirming and ratifying the conversion of certain formal mental health to grant general grant land and disposals of that land, canceling the Liz Pendens notices recorded in state public records against third-party holdings of former mental health trust land, and urging the Attorney General to seek the dissolution of a related injunction and providing for an effective date.
Hess, Resources and Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 227 by Senator Curtula, entitled, an act relating to terminal rental adjustment clauses for motor vehicles and trailers.
State Affairs and Transportation.
Senate Bill Number 228 by Senators Salo.
Excuse me, let me go back. Senate Bill 227. Make that State Affairs, Labor and Commerce and Transportation.
Okay. Senate Bill Number 228 by Senators Salo and Little, entitled, an act relating to bail after conviction for various felonies if the defendant has certain previous felony convictions.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill number 229 by Senators Kelly and Ellis, entitled An Act Making an Appropriation for the Construction of a Dormitory at the University of Alaska Anchorage and Providing for an Effective Date.
Yes, Finance.
Senate Bill number 230 by Senator Fatula, entitled An Act Transferring Responsibility for the Longevity Bonus Program from the Department of Administration to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs.
State Affairs, CNRA, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 231 by Senators Curtula, Ellis, and Little, entitled An Act Providing Coverage Under Medicaid for the Services of Physician Assistants and Reordering the Priorities for Medicaid Services.
Yes, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 232 by Senator Curtula, entitled An Act Relating to Reimbursement of Bonds Issued for School Construction and Providing for an Effective Date.
CNRA, Hess, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 233 by Senator Curtula, entitled An Act Relating to State Aid for Education.
CNRA, Hess, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 234 by Senator Lehman, entitled An Act Relating to Mandatory 99-Year Sentences, Parole and Furlough Eligibility, Service of Sentence at Correctional Restitution Centers, and Good Time Credit for Defendants with at least 3 felony convictions when the current conviction and at least one of the prior convictions is for a most serious felony.
Judiciary and Finance.
Senate Bill number 235 by Senators Ellis and Little, entitled An Act Relating to Forgiveness of Student Loans of Certain Healthcare Professionals and to Student Financial Assistance and Providing for an Effective Date.
Hess and Finance.
Senate Bill number 236 is not being introduced. Senate Bill number 237 by Senator Lehman, entitled An Act Relating to Offenses Involving Delivery of Firearms to Minors and to Offenses Involving Possession of Dangerous Instruments, including Firearms, by Minors.
State Affairs, Judiciary, and Finance.
Senate Bill number 238 by Senator Pierce, entitled An Act Establishing a Procedure for Review of Proposed Projects under the Alaska Coastal Management Program and Relating to Petitions for Compliance with and Enforcement of District Coastal Management Programs under that program and to the Disposition of those Petitions.
Resources and Finance.
Senate Bill number 239 by the Senate Special Committee on Oil and Gas, entitled An Act Relating to Evidence of Financial Responsibility Provided by Persons Who Conduct Non-Crude Oil Operations and Providing for an Effective Date.
Oil and Gas and Judiciary.
Those are all the bills for introduction. There are 3 executive orders.
Continue.
Executive Order number 88 by the Governor, transferring the responsibility for adventure-based education from the Department of Community and Regional Affairs to the Department of Health and Social Services.
Hess and Finance.
Executive Order number 89, moving the enforcement of size, weight, and load standards for vehicles operating on the state highway system and the authority to issue overweight and oversized permits for vehicles operating on the state highway system from the Department of Commerce and Economic Development to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities.
Labor and Commerce and Transportation.
Executive Order number 90, transferring the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation from the Department of Revenue to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development and to transfer the duties of the Science and Engineering Advisory Commission to the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation.
Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Those are the balance of the executive orders.
Senator Jarrah.
Thank you, Mr. President. An inquiry here on the Senate resolutions that were introduced as well as the bills. Is it your intent to hold these on the Secretary's desk till 5 o'clock or so to allow for co-sponsorship?
Well, we were considering 6 o'clock.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Mr. President.
Senator Donnelly.
Could we have a brief at ease?
Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? That brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Senator Taylor.
I move and ask unanimous consent that the bills on today's calendar, namely CS for Senate Bill number 89, Finance, CS for House Bill number 69, Finance, amended Senate, and House Bill number 160, amended Senate, be returned to the Rules Committee.
Without objection, so ordered. That brings us to...
Could I hear the titles of those bills real quick? I was just trying to grab my calendar here, and we've been doing so many other things.
Okay, the bills have been returned to rules. Would you read the titles?
I've got to find it here on my calendar. 69 Finance amended Senate an act relating to restoration of and information about sex offenders and amending Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure 11C and 32B. House Bill 160 amended Senate is an act relating to the time for filing certain civil actions based on a defect in an improvement to real property and providing for an effective date. And I'm sorry, the one appearing above that in third reading was Committee Substitute Senate Bill 89 Finance, amended effective date failed, and act making appropriations for capital project matching grant programs. Those were the three.
Thank you. Mr. President, I'm just a little out of practice here, I guess, because I would have objected to returning the sex offender bill back to committee. That was one I was looking forward to dealing with today, but I'll try to make my mark next time.
Hopefully we will deal with it soon. Senator Adams.
Yes, I was hoping that we'd work on all three of these bills, as the first one is the capital matching program. That doesn't work. You'd use this Senate Bill 89 here to repeal that statute. Any place in the state of Alaska, there's no tax base. This particular program does not work, especially in school construction. The other bill that we have having to do with sex offenders, and I apologize, there's two amendments on it, that there is a flaw in this piece of legislation, that if you go to a state-owned facility, you have to register as a sex offender. However, if the judge sends you to a contract halfway house, and I'll use the example like Albrecht, you don't have to register as a sex offender. So I had some problems with that bill. The last bill, Mr. President, I don't think you should send just to rules. It needs to go to the Judiciary Committee. Because that bill is unconstitutional. You and I debated that in the case of Turner versus Scales, and that's where that bill goes. It's a terrible bill. It's an unconstitutional bill. I don't think you have deep six it far enough.
Now that we have adequately debated the bills that are not before us, could we go on to unfinished business? Senator Little.
I move and ask unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the Senate on Friday, January 14th from 6 a.m. until plain time Sunday.
Without objection, Senator Little will be excused Friday through Sunday of this week. Further unfinished business? Senator Salo?
Mr. President, I make the same motion to be excused this Friday, plain time in the morning through Sunday evening.
6 a.m.?
That.
Without
Let's,
objection,
you know,
Senator Salem will be excused at the same time. Further unfinished business? Senator Duncan?
Just for an inquiry, Mr. President, I'm not sure if this should come under unfinished business or announcements, maybe we're going to make this announcement, but will there be a committee on committee meeting in the near future then?
I expect there will be one tomorrow.
Okay, I just want to know how this process is going to work, based on the fact that...
Okay, well, we will come in at 11 tomorrow, and it will be announced. Senator Donald?
I'm sorry, can we have another at ease?
Without objection, Senate will stand at ease. Will the Senate please come back to order? Before we took the at ease, we were under unfinished business. If there's no further unfinished business, that brings us to announcements.
President?
Senator Miller?
I have an announcement. Today is a special day for one of our pages. She's come down from the North Country with me, and Shannon Chapman, she's hit that mystical, magical age today.